KDVS, 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Andy Jones, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Thanks very much for tuning into your local campus and community radio station. We've got a lot of exciting things going on in today's show. First off, I wanted to let you know that about half past the hour, I'm going to be giving away two sets of tickets to see John Waters, the famous trash movie director of films such as Pink Flamingos and Hairspray. He's going to be speaking at the Crest Theater a week from tonight in Sacramento. And I have two sets of tickets. So when I give you the word, it'll be your opportunity to phone in and to claim those tickets to see John Waters next Wednesday at the Crest Theater in Sacramento. On today's show, I have three folks here in the studio representing a production that's coming up called The Matter of Taste. It's directed by Granada artist-in-residence Anna Fenimore. And she is here to talk about her work, and she's brought with her an actor and an actress. I'm going to be introducing you to all three of these folks. And we'll be talking about this show that opens tonight, May 19th, and plays through Sunday, May 23rd, at the Wyeth Pavilion Theater here on the UC Davis campus. And then right after I give away all those John Waters tickets at 5:30, we're going to be joined by Whitman McGowan. He is a poet, a performer. He's had multiple publications in the form of books and journals and CDs. And he loves to combine storytelling, chanting, comedy, and talk singing with his poetry. I'll also let you know about a great reading that's going on tomorrow night. Kerry Rudzinski and April Ranger will be reading at the John Natsoulas Gallery as part of the Poetry Night reading series. Boy, there's a lot going on. I'm glad that you chose today as the day that you've tuned in to your favorite poetry and technology program. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on an afternoon when I'll be giving away some tickets to see John Waters live as part of the California Lecture Series in Sacramento. That'll happen at 5:30. Make sure you stay tuned right here to KDVS. The UC Davis Department of Theater and Dance is presenting The Matter of Taste. It's directed by Granada artist-in-residence Anna Fenimore, and devised in collaboration with UC Davis students. This unique performance and food event will attempt to address both the subjective and highly individual experience of taste and the social redefining of what might be considered good and bad taste. An interactive production, the audience is invited to participate, including sampling of recipes. The matter of taste includes live music that offers audience members outdoor dancing after the show, when refreshments related to the production will be available for purchase. Co-sponsored by the UC Davis Arboretum, The Matter of Taste opens tonight, Wednesday, May 19th, and plays through Sunday, May 23rd, at the Wyatt Pavilion Theater. And the director of this production is Anna Fenimore. She is the artistic director of Manchester, England's Pigeon Theater, an internationally renowned experimental physical performance company. She is facilitating and directing The Matter of Taste as it develops from the experiences, thoughts, arguments, and autobiographies of the performers. Her multidimensional direction includes choreography, videos, projections, live music, and much on-stage food preparation and cooking. All of that and so much more will be a part of this production that opens tonight. I have Anna Fenimore and two of her actors here in the studio. First, Anna Fenimore, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here.
It's wonderful to have you here. And let's introduce some of the folks from your crew. Kevin Adamski is here. He's an undergraduate at UC Davis. Hi, Kevin.
Hello. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you here. And welcome back, Avila Reis. She is an actress and an MFA student here at UC Davis.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Nice
thanks
to
for
be here.
Thanks for coming on the program. So, Anna Fenimore, I'm going to start with you. People are going to be interested in this show, but why don't you tell us first how it was that you came to UC Davis and a little bit about the genesis of The Matter of Taste.
Well, I was invited. It was a couple of years ago. I was invited by one of the members of faculty, Peter Lichtenfels, who had been looking for artists, performance artists in the UK who were working in kind of contemporary performance practice. And I didn't actually know Peter, but we kind of got in touch, and I was very keen on this opportunity. So I make, back home, I make contemporary performance with my own company, as you said, Pigeon Theatre. But I also lecture at Leeds University, so I also work extensively with students. So I make both professional productions with professional performers and work with students. And I also work in with Pigeon Theatre, often with untrained performers as well. So I'm very interested in what I call performers as opposed to actors.
So say some more about that. How is it that an untrained performer has an opportunity to work with you on stage?
It will depend on the project that I'm doing. So some projects that I do, especially the ones that are possibly based around food, or often our works are based in non-theatre spaces, in pubs or in kitchens. And so often we invite people who are not trained performers but who might be interested in ideas around arts practice, so we invite them to contribute. So recently we've done a performance called The Rehearsal, which was based on lots of interviews with, it was around 78 different people, none of them performers. And they were involved collaboratively with this project. And I'm very excited by untrained performers. There's something about it that, for me, I find quite pleasurable, watching somebody struggle and watching somebody enjoy the new sensations that they might find through performing.
It shifts the point of pleasure and interest, doesn't it? Moves it away from perfecting an end product, and it becomes more about watching the moment of creation and of struggle and of realization and so forth. And that's very exciting. The poetry series that I spoke of before features an open mic with a featured poet or poets from 8 to 9, and then the open mic starting at 9. Mm-hmm. And some people, no offense to the featured performers, will just show up at 9 o'clock because they want to see exactly that sort of struggle of people who are not yet completely formed in their kind of artistic self, but to see that go on on stage.
Yeah, and I think what I'm really interested in is process and processes and the strategies that people use in order to kind of get through certain processes. So I'm not necessarily interested in final outcomes in art that are fixed.
Right.
As we've been experimenting with things when it comes to cooking will always go wrong.
Right.
And I'm really interested in that, and the fact that these performers on stage every night are going to have to be working hard to do something that is different from any other night that they've done it. And of course that's true of all live performance, and that's probably why live performance persists and why people find pleasure in it at
right.
one level. But this just pushes that a little bit further and just makes it a little bit more risky for performers and spectators, and for me, more pleasurable because of that risk.
Teaching can be very much like this as well. You talked about teaching
yeah.
at Leeds, and because we put our students on the spot in different ways in every class, or ourselves, and we're not exactly, you know, we have a rough outline often, but we're never quite sure exactly how it's going to end, and it's often the detours that are most instructive and enjoyable.
Absolutely. What I call winging it, for me, in giving a lecture, often produces better results than the deeply planned. And when I was a younger lecturer, I would over-plan. And I find that now that I'm a bit more experienced in it, I underplan, and I find that that actually produces a lot better results, because it means I can go with the feeling in the room at that time, and
right.
I can move with it. And I think that's where the interesting stuff happens, and where learning can actually happen for both me and for them.
I found that about teaching, and also about this radio show. For the first month or more, this was a dry and ponderous kind of elephantine sort of mess, this radio show. And then I found that when I would invite people on and engage in conversation, the less I spoke, the more interesting the show became, especially for listeners. And so I try not to plan too much. I've got an intern working with me this quarter, and so she does put together bios, which is nice, but I still have to leave room for those discoveries. So if you're just joining us, you're listening to KDBS 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Andy Jones, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS. And starting this evening, there's a show called The Matter of Taste. It's directed by Granada artist-in-residence Anna Fenimore, whose voice you've been hearing. And she's visiting us from the UK here at UC Davis. The show opens tonight and runs until Sunday, May 23rd, at the Wyatt Pavilion Theater. If you want to find out more about this, and I certainly would if I were you, you could head over to the website of Theater and Dance, which is theateranddance.ucdavis.edu. So, Anna Fenimore, I want to get to your actors in a moment, but first tell us why The Matter of Taste. Tell us a little bit more about how this show came into being.
Okay. I've been interested in food and performance and the links between these for a very long time. About 10 years ago, I made my first professional performance, which was called The Housekeeper, which was based in set in a kitchen, and we'd actually tour different arts venues, but we'd actually be performing in the kitchen. It was very hot, very intimate. We served food through this performance, but that was a strategic act, and the strategy was in place in order to try and create an intimate relationship between the performers and the spectators. To try and kind of make some bridge between those, to have real acts of intimacy happening in that performance space. So it wasn't really about the food itself.
Right.
It was about what that food could do as a in terms of building relationships. But what I also found at that point was that it wasn't just about those two sets of people in the room. It wasn't just about the set of performers and the set of spectators. It was also starting to bring other people, absent people, into the space. So there would be stories around food and around absent mothers or fathers or grandmothers often. Mm-hmm. And it was really interesting to kind of bring in these absent people into this space. And the stories that were attached to food were very potent for all those people involved in that space at that time. So that kind of stayed with me in that from that show nearly 10 years ago. I've continued to use food as a strategy, as a way of bridging gaps between performers and spectators. And this is the first time that I've really concretely decided to use food as content or as subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm interested in that word matter,
right.
as something that is very material, that is a substance, if you like.
Right.
So that's why I've chosen to do that here. And I'm working, my idea is that this show is part autobiography, part not mine, nothing to do with me, it's about the people involved, the performers, and part cookery demonstration. And I think it achieves varying levels of those two things. But coming back to that distinction that I make between acting and performing, for me, acting is about impersonating, embodying somebody else. And performing doesn't necessarily need to do that. And so I'm really kind of engaging with these people here as performers, asking them to present themselves, to represent themselves, to tell stories about their own food histories. And we sometimes lie, they sometimes lie, but that's, for me, just as interesting, if you like, as the absolute truth. And because it's so much kind of engaged in memory, memory itself is never static or fixed.
Right.
And memory clearly must have lies embroiled within it somewhere. So that's what we're working with.
Sometimes we do a better job of providing truths when we're lying, when we're not speaking only from, say, autobiography. Emily Dickinson said, tell the truth, but tell it slant. And that's somewhat what we do as actors or as performers. This is KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. You're listening to Dr. Randy's Poetry and Technology Hour. After a word from our sponsor, the Yolo Federal Credit Union, we will be back to introduce you to the two actors who are going to be performing on stage starting tonight as part of The Matter of Taste at the Wyatt Pavilion Theater on the UC Davis campus. Stick around.
This hour of programming is brought to you courtesy of the Yolo County Federal Credit Union. The Yolo County Federal Credit Union is a nonprofit financial cooperative with locations throughout Yolo County. The Yolo County Federal Credit Union offers a wide range of financial services and can be reached by phone at 530-668-2700 or online at yolofcu.org.
This is KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. In just over 10 minutes, I'll be giving away two sets of tickets to see John Waters next Wednesday at the Crest Theater in Sacramento. So stick around for that. Tomorrow night, I will be on hand at the Kerry Rudzinski and April Ranger performance. They performed in Sacramento at the Sacramento Poetry Center on Monday, and I heard from a former guest on the show, Eskimo Pie, that the performance was wonderful and that you have to go. That's what she said. I don't know if she meant you in particular, but that's tomorrow night at the John Itzulis Gallery at 1st and E Streets in the city of Davis. It starts at 8 o'clock with an open mic at 9. Avila Reese is back here in the studios of 14 Lower Freeborn. She's an actress and an MFA student, and she's appearing in The Matter of Taste.
Hi.
Avila, welcome back.
Thank you.
So tell me about your first impressions of this production and then some of the joys and challenges of participating in it.
Sure. Well, my first instinct about this production was that it was going to be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I warmed to Anna right away. She's a brilliant and funny and has so many ideas bubbling out of her that it's sometimes wonderfully exhilarating to keep up with her, which is great for me. So I'm constantly writing down ideas and learning from her. So it's been a fantastic learning process. I've really enjoyed the process of devising work, the prompts she gives us. Everything she does is like poetry, which it speaks to me in particular. I was an English lit major, so love theater, but because I love language, and I think so much of what Hannah does is about language somehow, and about beauty, and about she's continuously reminded us about the ordinary, about mundanity, and about juxtaposing that with things that are really painful and really deep and really horrible and really gorgeous, and then also really, really simple and sweet. So we've been putting all these pieces together. We've been cooking, and these connections we make through food. Food does that. I think food is really never about food, actually. Now that, because you had mentioned, Anna had mentioned that earlier, and I was saying it's not about food in the performance, and frankly, food isn't really about food in everyday life either.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Tell me a little bit about, or remind me of the trajectory of your career. How long have you been at UC Davis, and what have been some of your favorite productions thus far?
Oh gosh, I've done a production every single quarter. This is my first year. I'm an MFA acting student. I worked with Guillermo Gomez Peña in fall quarter, which was unbelievable. It was a crash course in a beautiful performance art, image-based work. Just an amazing experience. I'm actually going to Oaxaca this summer to work with him again, so
that's
I'm
great.
Thrilled. So I'm going to be taking a lot of Spanish over the summer. And I worked with directing candidate John Zybel, who was a first year as well. We did Midsummer Night's Dream, in which I was Titania and Hippolyta and Starveling in that. And that was, again, another amazing production that sort of the grown-up version of Midsummer Night's Dream. It wasn't fluffy and fun and, a little fairy romp. It was dark and mysterious and cutting and beautiful in many ways that you wouldn't expect it to be. And I thought it worked really well. So those were the two productions before Anna. My goals in this program is to begin to create my own work. I'm working on a play that may or may not be a one-woman play, depending on how I finish conceiving of it, which I want to get done over the summer, because I'd love to be able to take it to Edinburgh next summer. So those are some of my big and little goals.
Great. That's wonderful. That's Avila Reese, and she will be appearing in The Matter of Taste, directed by Granada artist-in-residence Anna Fenimore, who's here in the studio. And she's also brought Kevin Adamski, who's an undergrad here at UC Davis. Hi, Kevin.
Hello.
Good to have you here.
Glad to be here.
Tell me your impressions of getting to work with food on stage.
Well, the first thing I remember is the auditions. The only thing the audition said was, bring your favorite recipe, and that was it. So going in, I had no idea what to expect. I was like, are we going to be cooking? Are we going to be, like, talking about food? And Anna just sat us in a circle. And the only things we had to do was, first she said, what is your favorite and least favorite food and why? And then we split up into groups and talked about our recipes, and then had to pretend we were somebody else talking about their favorite recipe. So even after the auditions, I left still wondering, like, what is the show going to be? And we didn't really figure out what the show was going to be until 2 weeks ago, about 2 weeks ago. And it's going to be, like, an amazing performance. And just working with Anna, like, I'm a first year, and there's MFAs, and there's, like, third years, and she just treats everybody with the same, like, level of respect and the same level of, like, friendliness to everybody. It's been great working with her.
Excellent. What an exciting first year you've had here at UC Davis. And are you a Californian? Where are you coming from?
I'm from San Luis Obispo, California.
Excellent. Well, welcome to Davis. I'm glad this has worked out for you, and hope I get to continue to see you on stage. So, Anna, you've had a chance to hear from some of your actors and their impression of their opportunities to work with you. I thought we should close at some point of reminding people, beyond what's already been said, how and why should they want to come see you all tonight or one of the coming performances between this evening and May 23rd?
I think if you're interested in food, I think if you're interested in storytelling, if you're interested in contemporary performance, in alternative ways of telling stories, I think that this will be for you. If you're interested in dancing, if you're interested in music, then this will be of interest to you. It really does kind of hit quite a few buttons, I'd say.
So it's a cultural and performative cornucopia, and the best-smelling show in years, I'm sure.
Absolutely. It's possibly also the most chaotic.
Yeah.
I thrive, and I've said this constantly, I thrive in chaos. I don't like a quiet rehearsal room.
Mm-hmm.
I like people to be shouting at each other. I do an awful lot of shouting. and I like it to be loud. I like people to create with abandon. And then I edit fiercely, sometimes not fiercely enough, but I always end up with chaotic performance work, and that's what I enjoy, and hopefully people will really enjoy that as well.
I bet they will, and they'll get to see that on stage starting tonight. Maybe I could get one of you UC Davis veterans to remind folks how to get to the Wyatt Pavilion Theater. Who wants that? Looks like we're turning to you.
Yes, all right. Let's see if I can get this. So if you get to the theater and dance building, and there's the main right hall, and you go to the left of it, and there's this road, and there's a walkway that goes down across the bridge, across the arboretum, and there'll be the deck, which is like the beautiful wooden structure, and you keep walking up the hill, and it'll be right in front of you, the big, massive, old wooden theater.
Right, the Wyatt Pavilion Theater. And if you're driving, you could head over to 1st and A Streets, and instead of making a right to go into town, make a left to go towards Poudre Creek, cross the creek, park, pay for parking, and then notice where the hippest-looking crowds are walking towards. They'll be walking towards the Wyatt Pavilion Theater. What time does the show start?
It's at 8 o'clock.
Starts at 8 o'clock tonight, and for several nights upcoming until Sunday, May 23rd, is there a matinee on the 23rd?
Yes, there is. 2 o'clock, I believe, on Sunday.
At 2 o'clock on Sunday. And if you'd like to confirm any of this, you can head over to the website of theateranddance.ucdavis.edu. Anna?
Just one more thing. There's after the show, there will be food available to buy, which is food that has been developed between campus catering and the performers in the show. So performers like Arvila, who has a story called Arvila's Favorite Heartbreak, Sad Blue Soup, we have developed the recipe with campus catering, and so that alongside another four dishes are going to be available to buy afterwards. And we're having live music and dancing over on the white deck.
Deck.
So one could come hungry to this production.
Yes, come hungry.
All right. Well, it's a different sort of dinner theater, ladies and gentlemen, on the UC Davis campus at the Wyatt Pavilion, a production called The Matter of Taste, directed by Granada artist-in-residence Anna Fenimore, and starring, among others, Avila Gris, an actress and MFA student, and Kevin Adamski, an actor and an undergraduate here at the University of California, Davis. Thanks to the three of you for coming on the program.
Thank you very
Thank you.
Much.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's just about time. If you'd like to win two tickets to see John Waters at the Crest Theater next Wednesday, a week from tonight, then give me a call here at 530-752-2777. I've got tickets to give away. Stick around, because we've got more of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
The Linux Users Group of Davis, or LUGOD, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the Linux computer operating system and other open source products as an alternative to expensive, proprietary, and monopolistic software. LUGOD meets in Davis on the first Tuesday and third Monday of each month. For more information, visit LUGOD's website at lugod.org or contact Bill Kendrick at 530-759-1019 or via email at root@lugod.org.
Thanks to everyone who phoned in to win some tickets to see John Waters a week from this evening at the Crest Theater. I might have two more tickets at the end of the show, and I'll let you know when it's safe to call. Whitman McGowan is my next guest. He's on the live line here at KDVS on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Whitman McGowan started his public vociferating career by reading poems for a dollar each at a back alley Pasadena coffee house, putting poetry on the menu. After moving north to San Francisco, he became known for crafting a pagan anthem, "White Folks Was Wild Once Too." Whitman earned his stripes in performance poetry touring Europe a number of times around the turn of the millennium, twice with rock and roll review Le Cirque Electrique, collaborating with excellent musicians of every type. Along the way, he garnered the title of Nightclub Wrestling Champion of Dresden, Germany, and acquired an alter ego, Trungpa Bumleche. He's been published in Salon, Public House, the Edinburgh Castle Pub Anthology, among others. His two spoken word and music CD collections, Po Fu and Caught in the Act, combine storytelling, chant, comedy, and talk singing. I'm very pleased to introduce all of you to my next guest, Whitman McGowan. Welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
It's a pleasure to be here, Dr. Andy.
It's great to have you here, Whitman. So you're based in San Francisco these days.
Indeed, I am. And I had a far-out thought the other day. I was lying down doing my asanas on the floor of my darkened living room, and I spied a very bright star in the window. I wondered what kind of planets are around that star, and is there somebody with an incredibly powerful telescope on one of those planets looking at me down through my living room window, and can his telescope read my mind? And can he tell I am thinking about him looking at me? And doesn't he just think it fantastic? Us creatures who build colonies out of concrete can even have such a thought. And does he just say, marvelous, marvelous?
Under what circumstances would we be able to encounter you these days, Whitman McGowan, as a performer?
Well, I'm off and on playing various nightclubs, art galleries, back rooms, libraries, hotels, you name it. Like a man said, it's just good to be anywhere. And if you go to my website, WhitmanMcGowan.com, you can find out where I'm going to be.
We can find out where anywhere is.
Yes, and where I was and where I am.
Who or what do you see as your primary poetic and creative influences?
Well, it would be John Waters, one of the greatest film directors of all time, which I hear you calling a trash director, and some people call him a crazy man. But I've got to say, Crybaby is one of the top 10 films of all time. And Gary Snyder, Allen Ginsberg, Mort Saul, Lenny Bruce, Lord Buckley, all those great guys from the 50s and 60s who had a great way of telling a story.
Wonderful. Are you going to see John Waters when he comes to California? You know he's going to be in Sacramento a week from tonight.
Not sure about that, Dr. Andy, not sure. I know some things, but I don't know everything. Trungpa Bumleche has got his limits. Even about what he knows he's going to do the very next moment.
Absolutely. So tell me, when you perform, is it always a solo occasion, or do you often have collaborators?
It's almost never a solo occasion. I have collaborators such as the people sitting in my living room right now. We've got Weilan, whose name means fragrant flower in Chinese. She's playing a tam-tam or a Chinese gong. And I've got Swami Saskatchewan playing a Tibetan horn. And I usually do a little bit of work with playback tracks and other musicians who happen to be around are always conscripted.
I know, speaking of spoken word and music together, you've got a couple CD collections, Po Fu and Caught in the Act. Can you give us a sense of those particular recordings?
Ofu is a studio recording, or a series of studio recordings, and it's a basic sampler of what I do. And the Caught in the Act is a live melange of all sorts of appearances that I made all over Europe and North America. And it's whatever I could get away with. And whatever sounded good. For instance, I have one really excellent recording that didn't get on there because the Sex Pistols lawyer refused to let me take their anthem and make it a song about washing up.
I see.
Talking about anarchy in the UK. John Lydon's lawyer was not amused, so that did not end up on that album. But I'm starting to think I'm throwing caution to the winds on my next album, and I'm just going to put it out there and see who sues me.
So when you say you do whatever you can get away with, you can't always get away with everything, but you're going to give it a try nevertheless.
Nevertheless. And I've had some interesting experiences getting music rights. First, I tried to work with some Mixmaster mic tapes, you know, from the Beastie Boys. And also from, I used some Fatboy Slim. And those guys aren't always quite on the level with where they got their music from. So I cannot buy their music from them because they'll be committing another crime selling it to me. So I ended up using somebody who's more original, people from Ninja Tunes, who do their own compositions, and their brilliant crew down at Ninja Tunes out of London.
Excellent. Well, we're going to take a quick break for a public service announcement, and then when we return, I'd love to hear another sample of what you have for us.
Excellent.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Dr. Andy, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. After we hear a little bit of jazz and a public service announcement, we're going to be back with Whitman McGowan and his crew. If you'd like to find out more, and I know that your curiosity has been piqued, head over to Whitman McGowan, mcgowan.com. You're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM, Davis.
Women's Health Specialists offers free and low-cost health care. Are you looking for health care but have no insurance? Women's Health Specialists is a women-run clinic that provides free gynecological and birth control services to help women make the best health care decisions. Women Health Specialists is now located at 1750 Wright Street at Alta Arden in Sacramento. For information, call 916-451-0621 or visit their website at www.womenshealthspecialists.org.
I'd like to remind folks at home that Kerry Rudzinski and April Ranger are two Boston-based performance poets who are going to be reading at the John Nitzulis Gallery tomorrow evening, May 20th, at 8 p.m. That's at 1st and E Streets here in the city of Davis. Kerry Rudzinski is a member of the Emerson College Slam Team, better known as the B Team. In 2008, she was named Best Female Poet at the College Union's Poetry Slam Invitational and Best of the Rest at College Nationals. April Ranger has also made it to the final stage at the College Nationals as a member of the 2008 Cantab team from Hampshire College, where my brother Oliver Jones went to university. She was the individual champion at the 2009 Northeast Regional Slam and is this year's individual World Poetry Slam representative for the Hampshire Slam Collective. All of this happens tomorrow night at the John Nitzulis Gallery. It starts at 8 o'clock, but many folks show up early to get on the open mic night sign-up sheet. Open mic starts at 9 o'clock. After the featured performers conclude, there will be places to sit, great art on the walls, and you're allowed to pop in and pop out. It's part of the Poetry Night reading series here in the city of Davis. Tomorrow evening, Thursday, May 20th at 8 p.m. at the John Itzulis Gallery at First and E Streets in Davis. Whitman McGowan is my guest on the live line. He is a poet and performer, and he's eager to share with you a little bit more about himself and what he'd like to share or channel. Whitman, are you there?
I am, and it's so good to be here.
Excellent. So what have you prepared for listeners of KDBS this afternoon?
Oh, I want you to know that my supreme purpose is to bring you the one who showed me the way, the Girolama. I found him living in the basement of a burnt-out Swiss nightclub, and from him I received knowledge. Now, through my more or less constant contact with this man, through my telepathic connection with him, I can tell you what he's thinking and what he wants to impart to you at this moment. And I will be channeling him, and that will be happening very, very much right now. Wake me when I get here. Go love yourself. If I've said it once, I've said it a bunch. I've got a hunch. What do I, Trungpa Bumbleshay, and certain other people say when we get really ticked off with somebody? Go love yourself. Is that such a bad thing? Okay, the Girolama is in fine fettle, I can tell. I want to take a moment to mention the latest institution founded by the Girolama and me.
All right.
Yeah?
Go ahead.
Luminaries Without Boundaries. We go where we are not wanted. Those places where we are most unwelcome are where we are most needed. Oh, so human scope comes to mind. And the Girolama has something to say about this. Each of us is both grander and sadder than anyone imagines. The Girolama is a professional. If you ask me my profession, that's easy. I can profess just about anything. I could say my profession is professing. Thank you very much. My occupation, that's staying occupied and occasionally preoccupied or even post-occupied. How do I make a living? That would be working as hard as I can to do almost nothing. What do I do for a buck? For a buck, I will hold your hand. Psychotherapy of the Girolama. I am not like one of those PhDs who says we're trying to keep it together here, people. Not necessarily shrink your head, but bind it with many strings. I do not see how dissociative reactions differ from useful work. I may not know much, Dr. Andrew. I know you're there.
I am.
I know everything.
I'm enjoying this.
Yet I wanderlust of the Girolama. I'm so used to getting nowhere, I want to stop everywhere, even in Davis, California. Dirty old man. The Girolama is not a dirty old man. He just wants to touch everybody appropriately or not. Hey, who's your llama? the Jurilama on archaeology. The longer time drags on, the older the stuff gets that we dig up. The Jurilama on smoking. Do you see the benefits of smoking? No, because it's too smoky. We like living in the clouds, don't we? The Jurilama located in space-time. I have to be here to know what I'm talking about, what's happening right now. I have to be here. Where are we usually? Somewhere else, trying like hell to get here, but not quite making it. Now I'd like to share with you a Tibetan heckler prayer inspired by the music of the chanting of the monks of the Dipsi Chokling Monastery in Dharamsala. In case any one of you out there in Radio Land has been reacting poorly to what the Jurilama and Trungpa Bumbleshe have been saying, we can put a stop to that right now, and we can lighten up and listen to the Tibetan heckler prayer.
Wisdom to this person, they have said some dumb things in the past, but this latest outburst takes the cake.
That takes the cake indeed. I really enjoyed that, Whitman McGowan, and I appreciate you assembling musicians to support your performance this evening.
Our pleasure. And I want to say, if it's already time to go, where is whenever? And like they say, in this relatively curved universe, I'll be seeing you again right about now.
That's certainly something to reflect upon.
Oh, yes. Refract upon. And I hope that what I did today was sheer poetry as opposed to opaque or semi-transparent poetry.
Whatever it was, I very much enjoyed it, and I appreciate you coming on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour this afternoon.
It's been a thrill. It's been a thrill and a half.
Same here. Whitman, I look forward to our next conversation on the Lifeline, and thanks very much for appearing on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis.
All right.
Namaste, Andy.
Take care. Bye-bye now.
Bye now.
That was Whitman McGowan, the public performance poet and now San Francisco Creative and Cultural Institution, appearing here on KDVS. After this quick musical break, we're going to hear from Junya Chu. She's here in the studio to talk about yet another event coming up this coming Friday. My name is Andy Jones, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.